We're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here with Jennifer Thomas and Jarrett McKenzie. And now we have some questions from listeners. If you guys have questions that you'd like to send us, we're always up for answering your questions about finance, the economy, financial planning, insurance, you name it. If it's about your finances, we would love to hear from you and answer your questions. You can reach us locally at 770-429-9166. You can get us toll-free outside the calling area at 1-855-429-9166. You can email us at drgene@hensler.com. That's spelled H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com. And if you wanted to reach us via our website and various other ways, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R in Google or Bing, and you're going to find out just how you can get in touch with us.
Pretty quickly.
Exactly. So the first question right out of the blocks, guys. Greg and Christine from Canton asks, we are planning our retirement budget, and I think we'll spend less in retirement, but my wife thinks we'll spend more. I won't be driving 25 miles to and from each work today. That's a pretty long commute. I won't be dry cleaning 5 shirts a week. I won't be eating lunch out twice a week. I won't be paying for parking. I won't be buying a new suit every year. I see thousands of dollars in savings. Am I off?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Greg, but I tend to agree with your wife. What we typically see, now while every person is different and every situation is different, what we typically see, and we have a lot of people that come in and say the same thing, when I retire, I'm going to spend a lot less. And then they think of all the places that they wanted to go, but they were always too busy to go there, and they want to travel. And maybe now some of those home improvements that they've been putting off because they just didn't have the time to deal with it.
Right.
They also have a lot more time on their hands.
Yeah, and that's what we find the most.
You know, whether it's going to the movies or –
Yeah, it does start to add up quick. Most people don't realize how much time just has to be filled. And so even if you can find a hobby, unless it's a pretty inexpensive one, that, you know, that's still going to, with that much time on your hands, really, really rack up a lot of expenses throughout the year. So, yeah, I would agree with Jennifer and your wife there, Greg. I think that probably chances are you're going to end up spending more in retirement. If I think best case scenario that we usually see is people are able to maintain their standard of living and kind of keep it in line with where they are currently.
And I would say probably, you know, for the first 5 to 10 years, you do see an increase, especially if it's somebody that wants to travel. And so that's one of the conversations when we're running financial plans for our clients and they're getting close to that retirement date. Those are some of the questions that we ask. Do you plan to take additional vacations? Do you plan to travel? Do you want to set aside a budget of, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 a year for the next 10 years so that you can accomplish that, and making sure that that money is available for them, you know?
Yeah, we can't stress enough how important having a plan in place is during this time, because that is a transition that you typically are only going to go through once, and there's a lot of unforeseen expenses and other things that happen during that time. And frankly, without a plan, even though you might be looking at $1 million-plus portfolio, if that's something that still has to last you for 20 or 30 years without a plan, if you go into that time and run into all these expenses we're talking about and don't have a real good idea of what the liquidity needs from the portfolio are, you may very well find down the road, and unfortunately, maybe not until later in life, where you're not going to be able to go out and get a job anymore, that you may just not make it in terms of having your money last. So it is very important to have a plan in place.
Yeah. Other things to think about is, you know, if you work for a company that provides your phone, or if you have a company car, or if there are any things that, you know, you actually get as a perk.
Right.
That you would now be paying for yourself. Yeah. Those are also important things.
New expenses. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Now, Jennifer, one question that I have for you. I hear you saying that you ask people, you know, do you have plans for travel? Mm-hmm. Do you have all these plans? Mm-hmm. And I know why you would do it is to try to prompt in their minds, mm-hmm. hey, wait a minute, that could be a possibility. Mm-hmm. Do you find that they actually can predict or forecast, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, that, or the other? Or do they kind of get in the moment, and
some
next
people
thing
are
know,
very definite
cruises.
About the, yes, I have this plan. You know, when we retire, we are definitely going to travel. And you know, some people, you know, I would rather err on the side of being conservative. And if, you know, you think that's a possibility, then let's plan for it. You know, because when we run plans for clients, we update them periodically.
Right.
So we would go back and see if that's something that they actually did use. You know, are they spending based on what the projection shows?
Right.
Yeah, the answer to that question is it's all about the personality.
Yeah.
You know, if someone was good about budgeting and was doing well with that before retirement, chances are that'll continue into retirement.
It's funny because you have some people that really, and that's why I said it is somewhat of a case-by-case basis. You do have some people that are so used to saving and they cannot get into the spending mode. And so they will tell you that they need X number of dollars per month and you're sending it to them. And then they're socking it away.
They're saving on their savings, right?
Yeah.
Well,
which kind of acts contrary to the plan that you've laid for them, because
right.
now you're taking money out of the stock market and putting it into cash that has no growth.
Yes, and they'll call you and say, oh, by the way, I have like $100,000 in my checking account. And and I'm like, well, where did that come from?
Yeah,
so. These are the people from the case study with the excess income each year.
Right, yes. And the other thing is, if somebody's taken by whim to go and do things, it's that too is probably indicative of that personality you're talking about. Jared, to your point, I think the financial plan serves as kind of a scorecard, whether or not you're matching your plan or beating your plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, without it, even if you know that you've got that possibility that you might go find yourself doing something because, who knows you better than yourself.
Right.
If you tell your financial planner, it's probably best so that you can get out and at least build a little buffer
sure.
into your financial
plan. Much better
right?
to have a roadmap in place than to be investing blindly and hoping for the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a question here from Martin from Dallas. My daughter and wife run an Etsy shop selling handmade junk. All right, at least you got you need to be in marketing there.
He sounds very supportive.
He actually is, as you will hear. I don't get it, but they're having fun. I thought I'd be supportive by investing in Etsy. My question to you is, do I consider this a holding and really invest, or do I just buy a few token shares and spin a story to make them happy? So,
oh, now I feel bad.
Like I said, he is supportive, but here's the thing. You look at the details of anything that you're going to invest in. Before you go and invest, Etsy, again, operates a marketplace to connect people around the online and offline for making, selling, and buying goods. So sounds like your daughter and wife are making things and selling them. You call them handmade junk, though. but they're selling goods, we'll call them, on Etsy. So digging down into Etsy like I would any other stock, I see the long-term growth of earnings is possibly 10%. That's what the analysts believe. Return on assets and return on equity are negative 1.9% and negative 3.2%, respectively. Etsy doesn't pay a dividend. The P.E. ratio is negative 74.68. Now, revenue growth is a little bit impressive, 18.8%. Operating profit margin, this is the profitability measure that doesn't include all the small-time stuff. This is just earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, those sorts of things. 0.4%. It's not very profitable. You look at it on an economic value added point, negative 9.3%. PEG of 29.96. Anybody that's listened to the show knows that I like price earnings growth at around 1. So it's growing much faster in revenue and whatnot, but you're paying a huge price at 13.25 thereabouts, a little over $13 for a company that's not growing very quickly. Now, that 18%, 18.8, I said revenue growth is very attractive. But if you think about the bottom line, with a small operating profit margin, you take that 18.8%, multiply it by 0.004, the 0.4% operating profit margin, you're getting growth of about 0.08% on the operating profit margin. It just isn't growing fast enough. So to your point, do I really invest or do I just make it a small holding? Let's go with a small holding. What you can do, though, your daughter is involved in the stock. She's excited about what she's doing. She may not pay you a bit of attention on this initially, but why don't you sit down and go through the details of what you're doing and how you're having so much fun and how you might even be making a little bit of money, and then apply that to the stock market. Explain to your daughter and your wife that you invested and you want to just see how it's going to go. But in reality, the fundamentals of this company do not look investable from my point of view. So, you can explain that things are fun, and not everything that's fun and interesting to you is probably going to be the best of investments. So,
just buy a few, spin a story.
Absolutely.
Keep the rest of the money in Paulding.
Yeah, there you go. Use it as a learning tool.
There you go.
Absolutely. I mean, you can look for those in just about anything you do. But in this case, anytime you get your kids involved and explain to them how investing works, I think that's a good day.
Absolutely.
Of course, I'm kind of a finance geek, so don't hold that against me.
That's a good way to introduce them to it, though.
Absolutely. Right. So we got another question here. If, in fact, I can find it.
Yeah,
Jennifer, you know what that is? Here we go.
Sure, Margaret. It's Margaret.
There we go.
From Powder Springs. Why do I need to keep track of my tax basis in my investments? Doesn't my custodian have that information of when I bought it and what I bought it for?
Let's talk about what is a custodian first, just to make sure if anybody was out there listening that they would understand what we're talking about.
A custodian is who is holding your account that owns your investments.
Right.
So it's typically, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade.
Mm-hmm.
It's where your account is held and where the actual shares are.
And the difference between us as Hensler Financial, a registered investment advisor, and the custodian is the fact that Hensler Financial cannot take custody of your assets at any given time, right?
Right.
That's one of the things that differentiates us from some of the Ponzi schemes you hear about on TV and radio, and the fact that a lot of times that's going to be in a hedge fund where they not only custody your assets and invest them, they also tell you what you made. And if you've got a single source that's telling you all the details, then you've got a potential for
separation of church and state, essentially. Right? I mean, you don't want to keep the money there where somebody can run off with it.
Way to keep it political.
But, Margaret, to answer your question, I guess the short answer is you really don't anymore. For any new positions that you purchase, you're absolutely right. Your custodian will have that information. They are now required by law to keep up with that information. But, we still find that many of our clients have positions that they've held since prior to 2011, which, if I remember correctly, is when the legislation was passed that does require that of custodians now. And so if you have any positions prior to that or that you acquired prior to that, those are going to be, unless the custodian has information on it already, which in all likelihood they probably don't because they weren't required to before that, then that ultimately will fall on you as the taxpayer in order to keep up with that. And in order to determine the gain or loss on an investment that you may or may not have, that cost basis is going to be extremely important in determining how much of that gain or loss do you need to recognize for the year in which you sell it. So if you acquired a stock back in, let's say, 2000 during the internet or the dot-com bubble, and you've been holding it since then in hopes of it coming back up, and you've not kept track of that cost basis, then the IRS code dictates that you have to recognize that as a $0 cost. Now, some people can put together some of their records and make an educated guess at what that cost might be, but that still would not hold up in the event of an audit. So if you don't have it, you are required to keep it at zero, but that is why you would need to keep up with the information so that you don't run into that scenario.
And if you have positions, currently that you don't know the cost basis on and they were prior to the regulation where the custodian has to keep that, you can try to go back to where you originally purchased and see if they can do it. The problem is that, like years ago, everything wasn't just stored on a computer where they could just pull it up. And so, they may have scanned it in or it may be in storage somewhere and they have to go that. And you may have to pay for that information because they physically have to have somebody go and collect that and get it for you.
Right.
So it is important. It's also important, especially if if you have a large position where you're going to sell partial shares, or partial amounts of the security that you own, you want to make sure that you know which shares you're selling. You know, custodians will also allow you to set up automatically whether you want it to be the first position that you purchased or the highest cost or things like that.
Yeah, this would be a great situation, too, if you have the ability or are in a situation to where you can gift stock. If you've got to recognize that entire position as a gain,
absolutely,
maybe that's the one that you gift.
Right. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would ultimately eliminate that burden of having to determine the cost basis if you don't have it. So I know everybody's not going to be able to give away their holdings, but if that is a situation you're in.
Well, and you think about people that have had mutual funds for years and years and years, and they've paid dividends, and those dividends get reinvested.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it can become very cumbersome to try to figure out what that cost base is.
Some of the ugliest ones I've seen have been dividend reinvestment plans,
yes.
Where
right.
they invest
the dividend on a
quarterly mm-hmm. basis on a stock.
Yes.
But great point. That's probably the absolute best way to handle some of those, you know, to go ahead and gift it. If you are of a mind to gift
sure.
things, we're not telling you mm-hmm. to give away your stuff. If you don't want to,
it's a solution.
It's yours. You're free
that's
to
right.
hang on. But anyway, guys, wrapping up the show, what do you say? Mark it up or down? We said down last week. We were way wrong.
I'm saying up.
Jennifer's up.
Yeah, I'm no technical analyst, but now that it's broken this ceiling, I think we're going further. I say up, too.
Up as well. Well, you guys know I'm always a broken record. Troy Harmon, always up. I wasn't last week. Sorry, guys.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.